At the moment, in various retold stories of cultural history, we're trying to understand the truth about male-female partnerships and who may have been overshadowed by whom. The current TV series, Fosse Verdon, aims to look at the truth behind the relationship of those two prodigious theatrical talents, Bob Fosse, dancer, choreographer, and director, and Gwen Verdon, dancer, actress, and Broadway musical megastar. At issue in particular is the often uncredited role Ms. Verdon is said to have occupied as Fosse's creative collaborator. She's played by Michelle Williams.
Well, I just think that it would be a perfect fit for both of us. Bob Fosse and Gwen Verdon back together on Broadway. I think it could be a huge draw.
Verdon, who was also Fosse's third wife, had a powerful role in perfecting many of the things Fosse is best known for, we're told, including the musical Chicago, the film Cabaret, and many more. Hence, Verdon's name in the title, Fosse Verdon. But, as some critics have noted, the title isn't enough, even if it's a step in the right direction.
Why don't you take that line
from
again?
The series Fosse Verdon, we learn about Gwen Verdon's sacrifices, how she advised him constantly, even in the middle of the night, and made a transatlantic search for just the right prop for Fosse's Oscar-winning film of Cabaret, against a background of his infidelity. He's played by Sam Rockwell.
It's just, hey!
It's just that we've done it too many
times. I screwed up, okay?
And as the series continues, his bad and philandering behavior moves to the foreground and starts to steal the show.
I couldn't think without you, you understand? I want to come home.
The good part is about the work. Though he and Verdon had split by 1971, they never divorced and continued as friends and colleagues until his death in 1987. In the early 80s, the real Gwen Verdon suggested the key was in holding on to their professional connection.
Judy Garland once said to me, oh, your husband's done such a marvelous job. And I said, who?
She didn't necessarily think of him as her husband.
It didn't even ring a bell. He was the director, he was the choreographer while we were working.
But of course, a price was paid. Verdon died in 2000. In the series, the tantalizingly brief scenes of their work together do suggest there was a truly magical rapport between them, a profound match of sensibilities, and that's there, and fun to watch.
See what Gwen's doing with the arms? Everyone see that? Gwen, show what you're doing with the arms.
Scooping ice cream.
But Fosse Verdon also makes us wonder how Mr. Fosse ever got any work done, given the constant drama, recriminations, tirades, and skirt chasing. And oh, how Fosse does dominate the story. Given the effort to even the score here, it's downright ironic. Another current show, an art show, sets out to shine a light on the Mexican painter Frida Kahlo, born in 1907. Kahlo, early in her career, married the celebrated muralist Diego Rivera, and for a time she too was overshadowed. In those days, Kahlo was known in the art world as Mrs. Rivera, or even, as Vogue magazine wrote at one point, Madame Diego Rivera. In a 1930s article in the Detroit News, Kahlo was pictured by her easel, described as gleefully dabbling in works of art. She said of her husband, with a wink, "He does pretty well for a little boy, but it is I who am the big artist." But her inner struggles were great. She wrote to her husband later that she had been living in his shadow. She was a failure. "My painting is useless but for me and for you to buy it, knowing that no one else will."
Frida Kahlo was one of the most original women of her time.
That has changed, as we know, complete with iconic status for Frida, including a biopic in 2002.
"If you think I'm going to sleep with you just because you've taken me under your wing, you're wrong."
I was painting.
And a lookalike Kahlo Barbie doll, much to the dismay of her surviving relatives, and so on. The Kahlo exhibit is unusual for having only 11 of her paintings in it, and some drawings, and is dominated by hundreds of other items and collections of such things as makeup, clothing, jewelry, as well as some of the body braces and corsets Kahlo wore after the crippling injury she suffered in a bus accident in 1925 at age 18. Many of these things have never been displayed in the U.S. Among many rave reviews, there have been some complaints about this wildly popular exhibit from men and women. The British critic Jonathan Jones said, after seeing a London version of the show that grew into this Brooklyn exhibit, "I feel a far greater intimacy looking into Kahlo's eyes in her paintings than I do wandering among 80-year-old clothes. Artists live on in their art." Hazel Sills on the site Jezebel asks, "Why am I supposed to care about this? Exhibitions of Kahlo's work in 2019 should teach the public that she's more than her unibrow, and frankly, more than her biography. Her art is, both suggest, overshadowed once again, this time by a focus unlikely to be used for a male artist." So with both these shows, efforts to demonstrate the creative contributions of women may have been only partially successful. We'll have another chance to look at the work of a formerly overshadowed artist when the giant Lee Krasner exhibition opens in London this summer, with an accompanying book of images available everywhere for those who can't get there to see it. Krasner had a troubled marriage to Jackson Pollock. She liked to tell the story of their first meeting in the 1940s.
I had never heard the name Pollock, and the fact that he was in the area of painting abstractly was more than I could take, so I made inquiries, got his address, went up, introduced myself, and saw his work.
During the years of her marriage, she helped manage and promote her husband's meteoric rise to star painter. But, she says,
I was working all the time. I doubt our relationship could have existed at all if I weren't working.
This will be the first major presentation of Krasner's work in Europe in 50 years, the Barbican Gallery in London tells us. It's also been nearly 20 years since a major American museum show. One thing that's clear, it's just not possible to snap your fingers and correct generations of misrepresentation and scene stealing. That's why these difficult, imperfect exhibits and retellings of history are interesting and worthwhile, because they represent our sort of troubled recovery, step by wobbly step. It's Fishko Files. I'm Sarah Fishko.